Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we're in our 21st year bringing these messages to you. We praise the Lord for this day. We thank you for the radio station, for all the prayers and provision, and most of all for you, the listener. We thank you for those of you who have been with us for many years. We appreciate you. We appreciate your support. And if today is the first day that you're tuning in, we hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. So we say welcome to all. Today we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and this is going to be a very interesting teaching, a teaching that has a lot of confusion, a lot of controversy with it, but we're going to look at it because it's in God's Word, and He wants us to know about it. So if you have your Bible today, turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That is the main body of Scripture we're going to be looking at today. Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. We'll get to the message here in just a minute. Want to give you a quick update what's going on over in Kenya. And we have a project started. We're building a primary school, grades 1 through 8, for the children of Makunda Village. And many of these children are of another faith. And so it'll be an opportunity to not only teach them good basic education, ABCs, learn to read and write, but also give them an opportunity to know about Jesus. So it'll be an evangelism opportunity for our ministry. And we pray that many would come alongside, that we can get this school built. It's going to be for 200 to 300 children. And we'll have a wonderful opportunity to minister to these children and take care of them and teach them. If you think you'd like to have more details on that, contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com. I can send you architectural drawings. I can send you more details and get you involved. We'd like to hear from everybody out there to get the school built in Makunda Village. Well, today we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of the living God. And Jesus said when he was preparing the disciples to leave this earth, he told them, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan, but I'm going to give you the Spirit. I'm going to leave with you the Helper, the Spirit of the living God, the Paraclete, and he will be your guide. He will be your Helper, he will be your Counselor, and he will live in you and abide with you and in you. And so Jesus prepared them, and then when Jesus left, after 40 days, he met with them at Jerusalem, and there was a group of people there, all of his disciples, and eventually, 10 days later, 120 of them were gathered in one room in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection. And at that point in time, then the Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind. The Holy Spirit was given and ushered onto the earth so that every single person, man, woman, and child, could have the Holy Spirit of the living God abiding in them and with them. And by child, I mean people who are conscious of their sin, people who have accepted Jesus, been born again, and that can happen with children as well. And so we thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit, that we have the Spirit of the living God to live with us, to abide in us, and give us counsel, and give us direction. And so we thank the Lord for that. Well, there's many, many scriptures that pertain to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I want to just bring up a couple of them before we get into the actual gifts themselves. So keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That is where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are listed, and we'll take that in just a minute. But first, I want to give a couple of scriptures for those who are doubters about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is very controversial part of Christian doctrine. Many denominations and streams of Christian ministry have denied the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They've denied really the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to focus on the fact that even if you don't understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the purpose of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, understand that these gifts come from God. They are in the Bible. They are in His Word. And so we cannot deny them. There's teaching all through the Bible on the gifts of not just the Holy Spirit, but the gifts given to believers in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. There's gifts in three different places in the Bible given to believers and born-again believers so that they can function in the body of Christ with power. They can function without fear, and they have the tools that they need to minister with power. They have the tools that they need to minister and make the body of Christ an effective ministry, an effective body on the face of the earth to defeat the schemes of the devil. And so this is spiritual warfare on a high level. And when you enter into it, when you're born again, you're entering into a war that you probably don't know much, if anything, about, but you're in it. As soon as you're born again, you're in that war, and the devil is going to try to take you out. He's going to try to take your understanding away from you. And so it's very important that you understand that God has given us gifts to counter the strategies, the schemes, the wicked plans of the enemy, not only for our life, but for the lives of our family, the lives of the people in the church, the body of Christ worldwide. God has not left us as orphans. He's not left us incapacitated. He has given us powerful weapons, including prayer and Bible study and worship and all of these things. But He's also given us powerful, distinct weapons that are gifts that we can use against the schemes of the devil. Well, James 1:17, James, the brother of Jesus, said, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights," talking about Yahweh God, the Father of lights, "with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." And so there's no variation in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're the same today as they were on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. They are the very same. They have the same power. They have the same capability. The gifts are given by Jesus Christ to the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, and so we get these gifts directly from God the Father through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, to our own ministry, to our own life. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. And so that tells us the gifts have value simply because they are from God. And if you don't understand it, you read 1 Corinthians 12 over and over, and 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you read those three chapters over and over until you understand these gifts come from God, and we don't have really any authority to question them. Yes, you can question them, but you're doing it in ignorance. You don't have authority to question them, to deny them, or to say they don't exist. They're in the Bible. They are taught by the Apostle Paul, who has ultimate authority to teach about these gifts. And so 13 books of the New Testament were written by the Apostle Paul. And so he had authority to teach, and he still, this day, 2,000 years later, has authority to teach us through the words of God's Holy Bible. So they come from God, and they have the authority in our life given to us by God and given to us so that the Holy Spirit has power. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And the reason he said that was because God doesn't want a powerless church on this earth. He doesn't want the church of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want the church of the New Testament to be a powerless church. He wants a church with power so that we can go forth and be strong in our battles with the enemy. And there is no shifting shadow. There is no variation. If God promised it, It is yes and amen. If God said it, it is true. Just like every other promise in God's word, those promises are yes and amen, and they don't shift, they don't change from today to tomorrow, and there's no shifting shadow, there is no variation. God's word is true just as it was thousands of years ago. It is true today in 2026, and it will be true tomorrow as well. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed at you, so that you be lacking in no gift. Paul says, I don't want you to be lacking in any gift. Eagerly awaiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm to you the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Apostle Paul says, you've been enriched in everything, in speech and in knowledge, and you have the testimony of Jesus Christ that was confirmed in you, and I don't want you to be lacking in any gift. And so that is the reason we trust the fact that when Paul went on to teach then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant in the spiritual gifts, brethren. And Paul was speaking from his heart. He was speaking from revelation. He was speaking from the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he said, I don't want you to be ignorant in the spiritual gifts. And so we don't want to be ignorant in the spiritual gifts. We want to know about them. We want to know what those gifts are, how they can be applied in our life. We want to know what it means to use them, how to use them. And so all of this is very important, and it cannot be denied. Only in ignorance can it be denied. And so this is God's plan for your life. And I just ask you, if you don't understand or know anything about the spiritual gifts, maybe you've been in a church, or maybe you're not in a church, and you've never heard about them, you have no understanding of it, just keep your mind open, keep your heart open, because God wants you to know about it. Otherwise, he would not have had Apostle Paul teach about it in the Bible, and Paul would not have started 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with the words that he did. And so we're going to look at that right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1, and this chapter 12, 13, and 14 are the most comprehensive teaching in the Bible on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to start here in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant, that you know that you were carried away to these dumb idols when you were a Gentile, however you were led. In other words, when you were a Gentile and before you became born again, before you knew about Jesus Christ, you were just led astray. You were led by culture. You were led by ignorant teachings that really people still today, even this very day, lots of ignorant teachings out there, lots of cultural baggage that we have to deal with to get through to the truth. But I suggest you read God's word. That's why I'm teaching and preaching on this today. I suggest you read God's word. This is the New Testament church. This is the church that God instituted on this earth. And maybe you belong to a denomination that claims to be the New Testament church, claims to be the model or the perfect church. Read God's word. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read Acts chapter 2, and you'll understand what God is saying about the New Testament church. So again, you know that you were carried away to these dumb idols when you were a Gentile, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And that is the way we test the Spirit. What do people say? Do they say Jesus is Lord? Does their actions show that? Can you look at their life and hear their testimony and know that people are born again? Yes, and can, because Paul says that no one can say Jesus is accursed if they're speaking by the Spirit of God, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. People of pagan religions don't say Jesus is Lord and was resurrected and is the Son of the living God. So in verse 4, he goes on to say, there are diversities or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And so he's going to go on to list here in just a minute, 9 different gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he said there are different kinds. Well, the reason is because look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit as a toolbox. I have an old toolbox that belonged to my grandfather. He was a carpenter and a farmer. During the wintertime, he'd go around and build cabinets for people and do carpentry work. And so look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit as tools in a toolbox that you can take with you wherever you go, and you can minister with these tools according to the situation that you're in. You know that you have the right tool for the job. You know that you have the tool to give you the power to do what God is calling you to do. And so there's diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. The Holy Spirit ministers through all of these gifts. The manifestations come through the Holy Spirit, but they look different in every situation. They look a bit different in every person, but it's the same ministry. It's the same Holy Spirit that is ministering with these gifts through the person in unique ways, according to that person's abilities, according to that person's anointing. And so there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And so the manifestation of the Holy Spirit may be different in a different meeting, may be different in a different country, but they are all ministered by God through the Holy Spirit to the people in unique ways. And so everywhere on the face of the earth, these gifts are in use today, this very day. People have not cast them away. People have not denied them. People have not claimed that there are no more gifts. Yes, people claim that, but right next door is somebody using the gifts. And so they are in use today. It is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And so it's not for the individual that you can put a patch on your shoulder or stripes on your shoulder and say, now I'm a general in the army of God because I have some kind of a gift that has been given to me by the Holy Spirit. No, it's not for the individual accolades. It's not for individual pride. It's not for individual recognition. It is for the body of Christ, that the body of Christ can be powerful, the body of Christ can move forward, the body of Christ can increase, that the government of Jesus Christ will never end and it will increase, and it increases by the use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It increases by the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The same God works in all of these gifts, but it increases, so the body of Christ has power to deal with a powerful enemy. And so now we're going to look at the gifts themselves in verse 8. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And so the word of wisdom is what I consider to be strategies. God gives us wisdom and understanding so we can develop strategies to deal with the plans and the schemes of the enemy. The enemy is always trying to steal, kill, and destroy individuals and churches and bodies of Christ in whole nations. The individuals then get a lot of sickness, they get a lot of poverty, they get a lot of destruction in their life. People lose their minds, and so the devil has plans to take every single person down and destroy every person. And so you need wisdom that is given to you by the Holy Spirit so that you can deal with the plans of the enemy in your life. And that's what these words of wisdom are. They're words of wisdom that gives us plans, just like going into a battle. A general has plans, and so we have plans given to us by the Holy Spirit to deal with the battle that we are entering into. The word of knowledge, also discussed in that verse 8, word of knowledge is information or bits of information given to us about people, places, and situations, people, places, and things that we could only know by the Holy Spirit. And so it's words of knowledge are revelation, revelatory details that are given to us through the Holy Spirit, and we can then use those details then to put the plan in motion, to activate the plan. And so that is the word of knowledge. It's unique, individual bits of information that we can only know because God knows it. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. Well, the next is faith in verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. And this faith is great faith. It's the kind of faith that you step out and you learn to rely on that faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, read that chapter, the roll call of faith, all of these people, great faith, and that is God's plan for your life. You start to activate your faith. Faith without works is dead. James 2, verse 14, faith without works is dead. And so faith isn't just agreement. Faith is putting yourself in action through works, and you typically show your faith by your works. And so that is God's plan for your life. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for those who come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, the second gift in that verse is gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Is God's will that you be healed. It is God's will that you lay hands on people and pray for them and see them healed. That is God's plan. God wants us to be healed. Sickness is of the devil, and I know it's a lot of things cause sickness, a lot of things cause death and destruction, and we have to deal with that because this is a fallen world, and it's not too likely that everybody's going to have perfect health. In fact, that's very unlikely. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases." And so it is God's plan that you be healed. You pray and you come into agreement with Jesus Christ and God's plan for your life and speak healing over your life. No matter what your situation is, you speak healing over your life. Isaiah 53:5, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace lies upon him, and by the stripes he took, we are healed. And so the blood of Jesus not only saves us, gives us eternal salvation, but by the blood of Jesus, we're also healed day by day. Keep speaking healing over your life. If you have sickness, keep speaking the blessings of God over your life. He wants to see you healed. Keep speaking and thanking Jesus because he took the stripes for your healing. Well, in verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, and to another, discerning of spirits, and to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. So that's five gifts right there in that scripture. The working of miracles. Miracles are extraordinary moves of the Spirit, extraordinary moves of the power of God in supernatural ways that defy the natural order of the universe, that defy the natural order of the life that we live here. And so we see things happen that are outside that natural order. That is a working of miracle. Myself, I've seen two people raised from the dead, and so I know that there are things that happen outside of the normal course of events in life, and that is a working miracle. And you can pray for miracles. Don't go chasing miracles. Chase Jesus Christ. But you can pray for miracles and stand back and let God work. You may see miracles in your life. And to another, prophecy. Well, let me say that God's will is that we prophesy as individuals here in the body of Christ. Revelation 19:10, John fell at the feet of an angel, and John fell to worship him, but the angel said to John, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's God's will that you prophesy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you should prophesy. Well, the last three of the gifts, discerning of spirits, is the discerning of spirits between good spirits and evil spirits. It's not discerning whether to go to a ball game or to eat popcorn or a hot dog. It's discerning between the gifts of the Holy Spirit, discerning good spirits from bad spirits, things that you see in people's behavior, things that you see in churches' behavior, what is causing that behavior, what is driving it and behind that behavior. That is the discerning of spirits. Then the last two gifts are the gift of tongues, comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is prophesied in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest which may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. And so this gift comes with the Holy Spirit baptism. People speak in tongues, a language that they do not know. It becomes a prayer language for them, and it also is a part of prophecy. The interpretation of tongues, the last gift spoken of here, is to interpret. When someone speaks in tongues in the church setting, someone can interpret and give the message in the language that the people understand after the message has been spoken in tongues. So those are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, a lot of wisdom would say to accept these because they are from God. That is God's plan for our life. And so that is God's plan for you today. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. You can contact us, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down today, write us out a check, let us know you're listening. That's Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can check us out on PayPal. Use your debit or credit card, paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. You can also look at Facebook, facebook.com/Jim Rao, and see pictures of the ministry over in Africa. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.